Okay. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. Brother Phil got me looking like a pop singer up here with the microphone. All right. Hopefully we'll be getting something better. I know he's doing some research and trying to find some things that'll work for us. Let's go ahead and go into Colossians chapter 3. And that's where we're going to begin our study for tonight. Is Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to be studying verses 1 through 4. Verses 1 through 4. We have finished with chapter 1 and 2, and we studied chapter 1, and we see that in chapter 1, we're talking about doctrine. Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, and he's showing the supremacy of Christ and that how Christ should hold first place in our lives. So in chapter 1, he's talking about doctrine. In chapter 2, he goes on to talk about defense of that doctrine, right? That how we ought to defend that doctrine. And then in chapter 3, we're going to go into the actual spiritual application of what we've learned. A lot of times when you hear people up here praying quite a bit, and one of the things that we pray about is when we finish hearing a sermon or a lesson from Brother Obed is that now that we know, how do we apply it? We pray for application, right? We pray that we just don't know it, but we have to apply it to our lives. And spiritual application, that is the test, right? That is the test to show our maturity into what we learn. That is the hard part. That is where the rubber meets the road. We can learn all we want. We can have all the knowledge all we want. But when it comes to the rubber meeting the road is where we have to make the spiritual application. We have to make the spiritual application in our lives. Right, so Paul, when he writes this letter, chapter 3 is the focus on the spiritual application. And Paul is normally, I guess my little microphone is not working, and I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of glad it's not. Okay, there we go.
It's losing it.
Okay, all right, thanks. So Paul, in his writing, and he typically does this in his writing, is that he'll lay forth the doctrine, and then the latter part of his letters, he will show the spiritual application. Meaning, now that you know what I've taught you, let me show you how to live it out. This is what you need to do. This is what it looks like, right? So I wrote down here that Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and I put down identifying marks. Identifying marks. Making marks or having an identity is not anything new. One thing I can say is that, you know, through my life in the military is that you learn a lot about markings and things with identity. Right. You know, when you see somebody with a certain rank on, when you see somebody with a certain uniform on, you can tell who they belong to. You can tell whether they're Army, Air Force, Marine, Coast Guard. Why? By the uniform that they wear, something to identify them with. Right. Or if you ever been in a battle, you would know. Right. If that's an enemy tank or enemy aircraft or enemy vehicle, by the markings. You'll be able to tell the difference by the markings. So when we look at chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, I want to focus on the markings that we should have as Christians. And that is Paul is using this launching point, verses 1 through 4, as a launching point for the rest of the chapter. Now, when it comes to markings, turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and I'm going to begin my reading. Let's see. I'm going to begin my reading at verse number 19. John chapter 20 and verse number 19. Now, to give you a little background here, Jesus has died on the cross. He has risen from the grave, and now he's appearing to his disciples. And listen to what it says here in John chapter verse number 20 and chapter 9. I mean, John chapter 20 and verse number 19. Then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. And he said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had said so, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now, I want to focus on verse number 24 and following. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except if I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. And they came. Then came Jesus. The door was shut, and in the midst of them, and he said, "Peace be unto you." And he said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy hand, and behold. Reach here thy finger, and behold thy hand. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Now, the reason I chose this passage here is because that when you look at when Jesus appeared to them, right? When Jesus appeared to them, what was the first thing Jesus did? He showed them the marks on his body, right? He showed them the nail print in his hand. He showed them where they pierced him in his side. And again, he showed Thomas the same thing, right? That once they seen the markings on his body, they believe. And so I want to submit to you tonight is that us being the body of Christ, right? We might not display the physical markings, but we should display the spiritual markings. We should show all the signs that we are indeed the body of Christ. And that is what's going on in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 through 4 is that Paul is going to show us some identifying marks that we should have as Christians. That if you're living this Christian life, if you're going to walk in this Christian life, then you need to have some identifying marks. Now, Paul also talks about this before we get to our text for tonight. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 15 through 17. Galatians chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avail anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them and mercy and upon the God of Israel." I mean, the Israel of God. Listen to this right here, verse number 17. "From henceforth, let no man be trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Now, when Paul was talking about these marks, he's talking about his physical marks, right? Because of persecution, right? Paul, and if you ever get a chance, read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul kind of goes into some things, what he's been through, right? Paul is talking about the physical marks. But tonight, what we're going to focus on is the spiritual marks, right? The identifying marks of a Christian. The identifying marks of a Christian. What a Christian should look like. What should we be doing? If we call ourselves Christian, what should that look like, right? What should that look like? And another place where you can, you know, find out what it means or what a true Christian in the kingdom look like, you can read the Sermon on the Mount. Right? Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7. Christ is, to me, is like he's the master artist, right? And I mean, he paints a beautiful picture of what a true Christian looks like in the kingdom, right? And that is what Paul is addressing here in Colossians chapter 3. So let's go to Colossians chapter 3, and we're gonna take a look at verses 1 through 4. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. In verse number 1, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sit on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." So Paul starts off, and he starts off with these spiritual marks, and he's saying that if, right? And when he says if, what we need to put there is because, right? Because ye are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, right? Paul, again, what is he referring to when he talks about risen with Christ? We studied this extensively in chapter number 2. We talked about how are you risen in Christ through baptism. Right. Paul starts off and said, if you're going to have some of these identifying marks, right, if you're going to have any of these identifying marks, then first of all, you need to be in Christ. You need to be risen in Christ. Right. To claim that you're following Christ and that you're going to have some of these identifying marks. The first thing you need to do is that you need to be risen in Christ. Why do we need to be risen in Christ? Because once, and like Brother Phil was pointing out in his lesson, right, is that once we are risen in Christ, our old life is dead to us, right? We now are identifying with something new. We have put away that old man. That old man dies in the water. And once we rise from the watery grave of baptism, we put on a new identity, right? We put on a new identity. So so Paul tells us in verse number 1 that, first of all, that we need to be risen in Christ. Then he goes on a little bit further, and he tells us what we ought to do as those who are making the spiritual application, and those who have those identifying marks. We need to seek those things which are above. Why does Paul say seek those things which are above? Can anybody answer that for me? Why does Paul point that out? Why should we seek those things which are above?
Hey, Brother Joe.
My opinion. The world is very tempting. That's what Satan used to take Christ. Mm-hmm. And if we start focusing on the things from the world, we forget that we have risen again, and we start avoiding or stop coming to church, mm-hmm. stop doing what pleases the Lord, and we rob ourselves thinking that we're gaining something, and at the end we're not gaining nothing, my opinion.
Okay. Anybody else? I just wrote the answer on the board. So, Brother Phil, probably.
If you think of it this way, if the earth is your goal, your target, how is heaven going to be to you?
Okay.
We need to have heaven as our goal and desire to be with God and live with God. In other words, have our focus on the spiritual, not the carnal.
Okay. Yes, brother.
We need to be focused on a heavenly kingdom and not on an earthly kingdom. If all we're doing is try to satisfy everything that's down here on this earth, we're never going to be focused on a heavenly kingdom. And that's what Christ wants us to do, so that one of these days, we're all going to die a physical death. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be focused on being in heaven. Well, and we cannot do that without being baptized, living the life of a Christian, and so on and so forth.
Right. So let's look at verse number one again. First of all, Paul tells us how we put on those identifying marks, right? He said we need to be raised with Christ. Then he tells us what our focus should be, right? Our focus should be what? Looking for at those things above, right? He's telling us our focus. Why? What is this world full of? Physical things, right? We're born, let's be honest, right? We're born in the physical world. We are, right? And before we were born again into our spiritual world, right, we all lived that physical life, each and every one of us. Before we were raised in the watery grave of baptism, before we were born again into that spiritual life, we all serve, right, in that physical world, right? And we know that in that physical world, that we cannot live in that physical world. Why? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And I wrote on the board here, spiritual versus carnal, right? Because this world that we live in, everything surrounds us, right? And that's the beauty that I love being a child of God, because once you've been baptized, Christ tells us that that we would know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. What is it going to set us free from? Sin. We have I would say that we have special goggles, right? Christ, by us being a part of the Lord's church and being baptized, Christ has given us some special glasses or goggles where we should be able to distinguish the physical from the spiritual. All right. We should be able to do that. Right. In Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8. Let's see. Let me find it. Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to start at verse number 6. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 6. It says, for to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's why we need to be focused on things above, right? Where did the church come from? Anybody tell me, where did the church come from?
From above.
From above, right? So the church came from above. Our citizenship, right? When we became a Christian, right? Guess what? Right? We have changed. Our immigration status has changed from earthly to what? Spiritually. Heavenly. That's what we need to be focused on. That is where Christ is. He's sitting on the right hand of God. We know that when he's talking about the right hand of God, he's sitting in a place of authority, a place of regal, a place of power, right? That's what we need to be focused on. When the church came down, because the church came from heaven, right? Church came from heaven. When it came down, and us being members of the church now, guess what? We are citizens of another world. We're aliens, pretty much. We're aliens living on this earth, if you want to think about it, right? And what is this world full of? Is full of carnality. That's what this world is full of. Everybody's trying to satisfy that fleshly desire in them. Everything we see around us, everything, we're surrounded by it. And we cannot be a part of that, because we see that that by doing that, that those who do that, they don't care about God. That's why you have so many people, right? So many people that have a problem with God. Why? Because they want to live in their fleshly lives, right? And God, right? And us being a representation of God stands in their way, right? They that's why when you talk to somebody that want to live their life, that's why they have so much animosity, so much hatred towards God and towards the Bible and towards Christians. Why? Because we are a reminder of what kind of life they're living, and they're living a carnal life. They're living a carnal life. So the first thing that we need to do, right, if we're going to have any identifying marks, here's what we need to be focused on. The spiritual, right? We need to be focused on Christ. And if we focus on Christ, we are focused on the spiritual. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. It says, and everybody are familiar with these passages, but what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, if you want to put this in a proper context, what you have to do is actually go back to verse number 19, right? In verse number 19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust thus corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, right? It's telling us, right, that where our focus should be, right? We should seek ye first the kingdom, right? Looking towards Christ. That's what our focus should be, right? Not on these physical things. The first place in our lives should be always spiritual. Everything that we think of should always be spiritual. And you may say, well, brother, I mean, I got to live on this earth. I mean, how am I going to survive? You know, I got to work and all this physical things around me. I got to have a job. But if you look at verse number 33, it says, all these things shall be added unto you. That is the stuff that God will take care of you. He will take care of you. That's what he's saying. All these things shall be added. All that material things that you need to sustain yourself on this earth. That's what it means. God will take care of that. God will take care of that. What we need to focus on, if we're going to have these identifying marks, right? What we need to focus on is the spiritual. Do anybody have any questions or comments? Brother Ron, it seems like you want to say something.
Well, yeah, we talk about care. Well, we all know 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
That's right. That's right. Christ, God has provided us everything we need to make heaven our home. All right? Everybody turn back with me to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to move on to verse number 2. In verse number 2, it says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. So in order to have some of these identified marks, next thing that we need to have is what? A mindset, right? Our mindset, right? What we think, right? What we think, it needs to be focused on the spiritual. Our mindset need to be focused on the spiritual. Turn with me to let's go to Philippians chapter 3. I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 3. I almost forgot the verse I wanted to go to. Philippians chapter 3, and let's go to verse number. Actually, it's Philippians chapter 4, and verse number 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8 and 9. Again, what is our spiritual mindset? If we're going to have some of these identifying marks, we first of all need to be spiritual and we need to have the right mindset. So what shall we be thinking? What kind of things shall we be thinking? It says here in verse number 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things that are honest, whatsoever things that are just, whatsoever things that are pure, whatsoever things that are lovely, whatsoever things that are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which I have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the Lord God, I'm sorry, and the God of peace shall be with you. So Paul tells us what we should think, right? We should think on these things. Think on good things. Not only should we be thinking on good things, right? Is that we need to surround ourselves with people that think the same way. We need to do that. We need to surround ourselves with people that think the same way. Why is that? Why do we need to surround ourselves with people who think the same way?
There's strength in numbers, and also if you're heading on the right path with others that are like-minded as you, you have more of a chance of getting there.
Okay. All right, sister, go ahead now. Good answer. Anybody else? I think she nailed it on the head. Anybody else? Right, so we see, like she said, there's strength in numbers, right? Now that's not saying that you can't have associates, right, that is of the world, right? Because your main goal is to try to convert them. But if that is all you hang out with, then you may have a problem. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that, but you're putting yourself in jeopardy. Why? Because some of those things, because what is their mindset? Their mindset is totally different than yours, right? What they think and focus on are physical, carnal things. But you need to have people around you, right, that are looking and thinking spiritually, right? Paul talks about this actually in the previous chapter in Philippians chapter 3, right? He tells us, let's go there real quick, Philippians chapter 3 in verse number 17. It says, brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them that walk so that ye have us for example. See, Paul tells us this right here, that be followers of him. This reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, right? Where Paul tells us what? What does he tell us? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he tells us, I'm paraphrasing, to follow him as he is following Christ. Right? We also, right, have to surround ourselves with spiritual brethren. We have to do that. We sharpen each other. Right? We look after each other. How is somebody in the world going to look out for me spiritually? Answer that question. How is that? If I'm hurting spiritually, you know what kind of answer he's going to give me or she's going to give me? Something that's carnal. Right? How is that going to benefit me? Right? So that is what Paul is getting at, is that we need to surround ourselves with brethren, right? That we are like-minded, right? Go ahead, brother.
Well, they think, in their scripture it says they think it's strange that you don't run with them.
Right, that's right. They would think it's true. I think it's in 1st or 2nd Peter that talks about that. So what we need to do is to make sure that, you know, that we surround ourselves with the right people, right? And that's what this is why we're here, right? This is why we're here. That's why coming to worship, right, is so important. Studying with each other is so important. These elders, when they put things together for us to come together and learn, they're not trying to get on your nerves. No, they're not just trying to take your time away. No, what they're trying to do is help us grow and put us together and let us fellowship together, because we are in this together. We are in this together, right? And if, go ahead, brother.
Psalm 133:1 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
That's right. And when David writes that, what is he referring to? Worship, right? He's referring to worship, right? So we need to understand that when we come together, it's good to be amongst each other, right? If you can't get along with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, what are you going to do in heaven? that's the thing. If you come in here, you know, looking like you done sucked on some lemons and upset and mad all the time, you know, I mean, what are you gonna do in heaven? Right? This is the place where you should feel comfortable, because you're with people that's of the same mind, right? These people have the same identifying marks as you. Right? They should be spiritual. They should have the same mindset. All right, let's go ahead and continue on, because I want to go ahead and continue and make sure that we get through all four verses. And let's go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 3. It says here in verse number 3, it says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we have those who have those identifying marks, we have security, right? We have security, right? Our life is hid in Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 10. I'm going to further explain this in a minute. In John chapter 10. And I'm going to start at verse number 25. John chapter 10 and verse number 25. It says, Jesus answered them, and I told you, and ye believe not, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. And I have said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That is security. Right? We have security. You know, it's good to have that peace of mind. Right? To know that no matter what goes on around me, I'm still in God's hands. That's security. We have security that no man, right? Now don't get that scripture twisted, because some people twist that scripture and tell you that, look, see, you know, no matter what you do, you know what I'm saying, that you can sin and once saved, always saved. No. They use that all the time. No, that's not what they're saying there. Right? That you cannot walk away or fall away. Notice it says no one can pluck you out. But what happens is that people pluck themselves out. They walk away. Right? Or do things and don't change their life. Right? Notice we have that security. It's hid in Christ. Right? It gives us that comfort. It gives us a peace of mind to know that no matter what goes on in my life, and trust me, saints, and everybody in here knows that, guess what? Life throws you a curveball all the time. When your life seems like it's turned upside down, you still have the peace of mind to know that I'm still in God's hands. Right? And I still have eternal life. Right, so that is another identifying mark that we have security. Right, we can walk around. You know, we can walk around knowing that we are secure in Christ, as long as we're doing what? Following Him. What? As long as our mindset is right. As long as we're focused on the spiritual and focused on Christ, we can have that confidence. Right, we can have that confidence. God doesn't walk us to be walking around scared and timid. No. He wants us to be bold. He wants us to stand firm and know. Right? And I believe it's what, 1 John chapter 5 that talks about that we know that we have eternal life. Right? We should have confidence in that. Not cockiness, because it's nothing to do with us. It's because what Christ did on the cross. And that's one thing we don't need to get twisted, that we can't walk around cocky thinking that we all that. No, it's about what Christ done on the cross and the finished work of Christ. And through our obedience, we can have confidence. Nothing to do with us. Nothing at all. Do anybody have any questions or comments before I go to my last point? All right, let's go back to Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 4. Colossians chapter 3, let me get there real quick. Let's see. In verse number 4, in our last point for tonight, it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Last thing is identifier mark that we have is what? Glorification. And I'm going to misspell this. And yeah, there we go. I'm standing in front of it so y'all don't see my misspelling. All right, glorification, right? So what does it mean to be what does it mean to be glorified? Can anybody tell me? What does it mean to be glorified? And how does that process work? That's something that we're all looking forward to. We're all looking forward to it. Go ahead, brother.
As we grow in Christ, and if we follow those steps, He will put us in a level that we don't deserve. Mm-hmm. But He has that power to put us there, okay, because we obey. Okay. And one thing that I want to tell you is this, that sometimes we, as Christians, are our own enemies. Mm-hmm. We destroy ourselves thinking that we're going to get this. Hey, but we forget. He's the one that's taking care of everything.
He's taking care of everything. So when it comes to glorification, that is our inheritance, right? That is our inheritance. So we should know what glorification. What does it mean to be glorified?
Free.
What's that again?
Free.
I can't hear you.
Free.
Free?
Complete. Oh, complete?
Yeah, complete, but in what way?
Spiritually.
Spiritually? Okay. Turn with me to... No, sorry, Brother Obed, I hit your thing. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Because what's going to happen at the end? Who's going to be glorified first at the end? We have to know that Christ is the one that's going to be glorified, right? And if you turn to Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read verse number 17. Romans chapter 8, verse number 17. I'm going to start with verse number 14, right? It says, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, verse number 17. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with who? Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. In the end, when Christ is glorified, if we are faithful, we will be glorified as well.
Suffer with him.
We will be with him. And I think in John chapter, 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2, it says that we don't know how we're going to look, but we're going to be with him, right? Meaning that we don't know, we're going to be looking like Christ, right? In his glorified body, in his glory. Right? So we need to understand that is something that we all, as children of God, need to be focused on. That's our goal, right? We should be looking for that day. That's our inheritance, right? We are joint heirs. We've been adopted into this family. Christ is what he is, the original son, and we've been adopted into this family, and we get to enjoy that inheritance as well, right? Glorification. That's something that we all should be looking for. Right, so if we're going to have any of the five marks, Paul is laying down the foundation of what applications of a Christian should look like when he wrote this letter to the church of Colossae. Right, he tells us that those identify marks. First of all, you need to be spiritual. Right, we need to have a spiritual mindset. We have security, and also we have glorification. Right, we have glorification in Christ. So anybody that are Christians, we need to understand who we belong to. When it comes to the way that we live our lives, who will we focus on? Christ. That's what we should be focused on. That is our goal. And if you are doing that, if you're focused on Christ and those things above, guess what? You are showing those identifying marks. Anybody should be able, you can quote all the scripture you want, but if your life is raggedy, no, it's not going to work. In order to, and this is my last point. When I there've been times I quoted scriptures and showed scriptures, but what people tend to look for is the way that you live your life. That's what they're looking for. That's what they're looking for. And if you're showing those identifying marks and living right and focus on Christ who's above, then again, you are displaying the proper things of what a mature Christian should look like. Do anybody have any questions or comments? And we're going to pick up in verse number 5 and continue on the spiritual application. All right, the spiritual application of this letter. Any comments before we close out? All right, let us close out in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that we're able to come and receive thy word, Lord, and to study thy word. We ask and pray, Lord, that since we have learned, Lord, that what our mindset should be, Lord, and that we should be focused on thy son, Lord, who's sitting on thy right hand, and what power. We ask and pray, Lord, that we can make the proper application in our lives, Lord, that as we are living in this physical world, Lord, that our spirituality, Lord, should be shown, that we can be a light into this world, Lord, and that we can win souls unto thee. Not that we, Lord, should receive any glory, Lord, but that you should receive all the glory. We ask and pray, Lord, that you continue to be with us, Lord, and Lord, especially be with the Franco family, Lord, and little baby Luke, Lord. We ask and pray that you be with them and you strengthen them and strengthen him. Continue to watch over us, Lord, and if it be thy will, Lord, be with us until we meet again. Forgive us when we fail thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.